You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM in Montreal. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Squeaky Curd, a food show coming to you from CGLO, where we examine our relationship with food here in Montreal. I'm your host, Gwen Rowley. I'm a journalism grad student at Concordia, and I am not a food expert. I just like to eat. Today, we're going to be looking at restaurant food delivery during the pandemic and how it has been different in Montreal and Quebec with the introduction of a curfew in the evenings. Another one of my disclaimers for the top of the show, this episode was produced during April and will be airing on May 7th, seeing as over the course of the pandemic, we have seen how quickly the regulations in Quebec can change by region. It may very well be that the curfew in Montreal and the rest of the province will have changed by the time this episode airs. Some regions in different colored zones may even be doing indoor dining. Who's to say? The purpose of this episode is not necessarily to provide up-to-date resources on what the rules in your region are at the moment the show airs, but rather to show how quickly these rules have changed and what effect they have had on restaurants and delivery services. Also, while I have attempted to not completely focus on the pandemic each episode, and you can all be the judge of how well I do that, because my hope is that the topics we discuss here will be more evergreen and that one day the pandemic will end, the focus of this episode will be kind of inextricable from the pandemic itself. So, to start this story, we have to go back to the beginning, in the March of 2020. It feels cliche to say at this point, but in 1 week, the entire world turned upside down. Now we're all pretty adjusted to pandemic living, but it can be difficult to forget the uncertainty of those first few months in the spring of 2020, when no one really knew how long any of this was going to last. Some of us had the privilege to stay home and contemplate this new reality, but some still had to go into work if they wanted to see their business survive beyond the pandemic. I talked to Etienne Clément, the co-owner of Le Super Qualité, to get his perspective on the new normal of running a restaurant in the time of COVID-19.
Sure. My name is Etienne. I'm one of the co-owner of Le Super Qualité, which is an Indian restaurant. We currently have two locations, one in the Rosemont on the Bélanger Street, and we just opened a second location downtown at Le Central. But we opened this location in January last year. So we were only in operation for like 3 good months before the pandemic hit. And this location is currently closed.
During the spring of 2020, all restaurants in Quebec were closed from dine-in services and had to rely on delivery services to continue to stay in business.
It's been a lot of adjustment because we were not doing delivery before that. So we started to deal with companies like Uber. At the beginning, we were also doing with deliveries with DoorDash. And more recently, we started using Check Please, which is a great company. I think it's owned by some guys who I think they were from McGill, engineering student from McGill. And it's much more affordable than Uber Eats or DoorDash.
There was a brief respite during the summer when restaurants and bars were allowed to open in a limited capacity, with many of them offering outdoor dining services to reduce the risk of the propagation of the virus. As regulations were adjusted over the summer, businesses started to keep a record of client names and contact information to aid in contact tracing should there be an outbreak. Eventually, bars were told to stop serving alcohol at midnight and close at 1 a.m., and that if they flouted COVID restrictions, they would be forced to close. As new rules were put in place, fewer and fewer outbreaks were traced back to restaurants and bars, while they weren't eliminated completely. For example, an evening of karaoke at Bar Kerouac in Quebec City led to a major outbreak at the beginning of September. As moving operations outside where protection from the virus is relatively safer became less of an option because of the changing seasons, it soon became clear that we were operating on borrowed time. At the end of September, Quebec introduced its colored zone system, which categorized administrative regions by yellow, orange, and red, and announced that Montreal, Quebec City, and Chaudière-Appalaches would be immediately categorized as red, meaning they would have to shut down indoor dining, and delivery and takeout were once again the order of the day. These services may be enough to keep some businesses afloat, but they do not compare to the amount of revenue restaurants and bars would be generating in normal times. In December 2020, Restaurants Canada released a survey predicting that 48% of small and medium-sized independent restaurants would be forced to close in 6 months if restrictions on dining in remained in place and assistance loans wore off. The loss in revenue can be attributed to the lag in business when you're only operating through delivery and takeout, but there's also the added fees that companies like Uber and DoorDash charge to generate their own profits. Here's Etienne talking about the hit Le Super Qualité takes doing delivery with third-party delivery apps.
It was huge in terms of, I think they were charging more like 20. It ended up costing us around 26% with Uber, which is huge when you think about the margin that we have in the restaurant industry. But recently, the government passed a bill that limit the fees, I think, to 20%. So we end up paying a little less, but it's still a lot for us, for sure.
But Etienne said that for many restaurants, third-party delivery apps are one of the few options as they do not have the capacity to meet the new demand of a delivery-based business model.
Yeah, we thought about hiring our own staff for delivery. We even thought about partnering up with other restaurants, but the problem with that is that all the orders come at the same time. So we would need to hire, let's say, like 10 drivers between 6 to 8, and after we would need only 2. So it's more like a logistic problem. That's why those companies are so successful, because they kind of answer to this problem. There's a lot of drivers, and they're able to cover all the deliveries during the rush hours.
But there are alternatives to monoliths like Uber, DoorDash, and Skip the Dishes. As Etienne mentioned, his restaurant has partnered with Check Please, a Montreal-based company that offers to handle restaurant ordering and delivery through the rideshare co-op Eva. The delivery fee is only 3% compared to the 20 to 26% that Etienne mentioned Uber charging. Le Super Qualité is not the only restaurant to use Check Please's services. Many other restaurants and food businesses in the city, such as Paradis BBQ, Velvet Lane Cakes, and Mikado Sushi, have chosen to partner with them. Another delivery alternative that is seeing a boom because of the pandemic is Radish Cooperative. I talked to one of the founders of Radish, Kitsia Sadat, who is now their director of brand and marketing. On top of her management role, Kitsia also does regular delivery shifts for Radish.
Yeah, my name is Kitsia Sadat, and my pronouns are she, her. I work as the director for brand and marketing at Radish Cooperative.
Radish does charge restaurants about 20% for delivery fees, but since it's a cooperative, restaurant members not only have a say in how the business is run, but they also do see a return of some of the profits through a dividend.
Yeah, so we're a cooperative where the restaurants and the employees, which include the drivers and the staff, as well as the consumers, are and can be members of the cooperative. And so by being a member, you have ownership of the cooperative. You also have a right to vote. In like, one member has one right to vote in the direction of the organization. And at the same time, you can get a share of the profits at the end of the year.
Here's Kitsia talking a little bit more about how the idea for Radish came to be.
Yes. So we are a food delivery service that is local here in Montreal. We launched back in the beginning of 2020. So I guess pre-COVID. Essentially, we are a food delivery service, but at the base, we are a restaurant technology service in a way. So what we want to do is essentially mutualize the needs of the restoration industry, to mutualize their technical needs and be able to address them. And one of the things that we decided to focus on was the food delivery industry. So as we had seen, my colleague and his father, who actually own a restaurant right now, was that over the past few years, the industry and essentially food delivery was just getting worse. For example, what they noticed was that drivers would often appear or like arrive without bags. And that would often lead to the food either being cold or likely to spillage. We also had a friend of ours who told us that they had tried to reach customer service through one of the online platforms, and they had actually encountered someone who couldn't speak English nor French, but Spanish.
Not only did Radish want to find solutions to these issues on a customer service end, they also wanted to create smaller, closer business relationships with restaurants that could handle specific problems that might not go quite as noticed at a big company like Uber.
A lot of litigations also go against the restaurant. For example, a driver can say that the food has been late for 5 minutes, for example, whereas the restaurant has no way of vetting that. And what often happens is that the restaurant will check their invoices at the end of the week or the month and notice that there have been these charges that were applied, but they weren't late with their orders. It was just that the drivers had the power to be okay, it was late. So what we want to do is essentially provide a more economically viable alternative to restaurants, drivers and consumers, but also create a better relationship between the players, between the people that are involved.
When we come back from the break, we'll be discussing the impact the introduction of a curfew in Quebec had on delivery and what a typical evening of food delivery looks like for a driver. You're listening to CGLO 1690 AM in Montreal. Hello, and welcome back to The Squeaky Curd. Today, we're looking at food delivery during the pandemic and how it has been impacted by a curfew in Quebec. Before the break, we took a look at what restaurant business and delivery looked like during the pandemic before the start of the curfew. In this segment, I'm going to try my best to explain the overlapping curfew measures in Quebec and what they mean for the restaurant industry. Okay, so here we go. On January 6, after a surge in COVID-19 cases, Quebec imposed a curfew across the province between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Essential businesses that were open during the already ongoing lockdown closed at 7:30 p.m. to give employees time to get home before curfew. One of the exceptions to curfew was restaurants, which were allowed to stay open past 8 p.m. to provide delivery. I talked to Martin Vezina of the Quebec Restaurant Association to learn more.
Oh, it was not that much a new rule for us. You know, in Montreal, dining rooms are closed since October 1st. So it's still the same situation since October. We cannot reopen our dining room. The only thing that has changed is there's a curfew. But like I said before, the curfew doesn't apply to delivery. So for restaurants, something maybe an advantage that they have because they're the only one that can offer food after the curfew. We can see that as an advantage. You cannot go to the groceries. Groceries cannot be delivered to your home. Only restaurant food can be delivered to your home.
On February 2nd, after a slight decline in cases, the curfew in orange zones was pushed to 9:30 and restaurants were allowed to reopen.
If we reopen our dining room, we don't want to have a curfew at 8 p.m. because it doesn't make any more sense, because at 8 p.m. maybe there's still people that want to dine in at 8, the people that are dining late. But what we are seeing in our new orange zone sectors, the curfew has been displaced to 9:30 p.m. So at 9:30 p.m. for a curfew, it can work in our situation, because what we've seen since the beginning of the pandemic is that restaurant closed now more at 9 p.m. because there's no much late dining as it was before.
On March 17th, the curfew in red zones like Montreal was pushed back to 9:30 p.m., but restaurants were still not allowed to open for in-person dining. On March 26th, Gaspésie, Îles-de-la-Madeleine, Côte-Nord, and Nord-de-Québec all became yellow zones, meaning restaurants were open and there was no longer a curfew in those regions. On April 1st, special emergency measures, signified by an even deeper red zone, went into effect in Chaudière-Appalaches, Outaouais, and parts of the Capitale Nationale region, wherein the curfew was back to 8 p.m. and restaurants were forced to close dining rooms. The rest of the Capitale Nationale region and Bas-Saint-Laurent went back to red zones, so their restaurants were closed, but their curfew remained at 9:30 p.m. On April 11th, the curfew in red zones of Montreal and Laval was returned to 8 p.m. as a preventative measure, so restaurants remained closed but had to readjust their delivery procedure once again. On May 3rd, the Montreal and Laval curfew went back to 9:30 p.m., with restaurants still closed, and on May 9th, the deep red areas in Capitale Nationale, as well as Outaouais and Chaudière-Appalaches, will return to just red zones, where the curfew is 9:30 and restaurants will still be closed. Again, this is an overview timeline of restrictions at the time this episode was produced. By the time you're all listening to it live or later online, these rules could have changed. Those were also just the rules as they were applied to restaurants and delivery over the past few months. The zone system and curfew also had an effect on other sectors, but that is not what we're focusing on in this episode, and to list them all would definitely get even more confusing. Here's Etienne talking about his initial reaction to the curfew and how he tried to maintain normalcy for his staff and customers.
Yeah, we decided to not change the hours because, first, we don't know how long the curfew will be, and I don't want to change the hours and then change it back in 2 weeks. Also for my staff, because I don't want to give them enough hours for them to survive, to make enough money. So we decided not to change the hours, even though I think it would be more profitable to change the hours, yeah.
So many restaurants decided to stay open after curfew. But Kidzia pointed out some of the ones Radish is partnered with decided to pack it in before curfew.
In terms of businesses, what we've seen for restaurants is that so on our side, a few of them have actually closed after 6 p.m. So what they've noticed was that after curfew, that less people order out. And so I'm not really sure how to understand that, other than maybe that a lot of people do take out and less delivery, maybe because of what we've all been hearing about how we should be ordering by calling the restaurant, for example. So they've either closed around 6 p.m. or closed around 7:30 whenever the curfew starts. So whenever the curfew did start, I believe we did see a drop in sales around that time. But I think perhaps I'm trying to figure out what we could attribute that to, but as to why people just stopped ordering after 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. and that's what ended up leading to restaurants wanting to close before because they just weren't getting any orders.
Restaurant workers and delivery drivers are considered essential workers who are allowed to be out after curfew, performing their jobs and then commuting home after their shift. If you're an essential worker out after curfew, you need a special paper signed by your employer, which explains why you're allowed to be out. Etienne talked about how some of his employees have been stopped by the police when they are making their way back home from work. There was a lost in translation issue with this clip that I clarified with Etienne. When he says arrested, he meant stopped.
Some of my employees have been arrested going back home from work, and we've been called and just asking us if it was because we provide them with a paper, but sometimes the police doesn't believe them, so they have to call us. In this case, we just tell them that it's true and they're working for us. They're just doing their job, I guess.
Etienne said there had been other times that his employees were stopped and asked to show their papers, but there were only two times that the police called him to confirm the validity of their papers, and the employees were allowed to continue on their way. Many people have raised red flags about the freedoms that curfew gives police to arbitrarily check essential workers who are just doing their jobs. In a press release from January 26, the Immigrant Workers Center in Montreal said, quote, "Essential workers without status are subject to more danger, financial hardship, and precarity than ever before due to the pandemic. The draconian powers granted to police in guise of curfew enforcement have further exacerbated the problem, especially for those with precarious immigration status who rarely have the luxury of working from home. While being stopped by the police can still be jarring. Besides the types of stops that Etienne mentioned, where employees are stopped and questioned, Martin asserted that restaurant and delivery drivers have not had any further problems with police checks in Quebec.
As of today, we didn't hear of any problem concerning our drivers. We know that police officers check them and they ask for the document, but we didn't hear any delivery employees or any the drivers that have been that have received a fine because of the curfew. And so we didn't heard any problems. We have heard any problems from other kind of workers or employees, but not our drivers.
Here's Kitsia talking about her experience getting stopped by police on one of the first nights of curfew.
The first few days that when curfew started, there were absolutely or almost no cars out around 8 p.m. It was pretty much dead around the city. But what I did notice was that there were police cars around. And I think at that point that they were just like, which person do we stop? I'm not really sure, but like they were just hanging around. And I did hear from my other colleagues that they were stopping them. And so I hadn't been stopped by a police car, but I was stopped at a checkpoint, which I was not expecting at all, especially because, so I live in South Shore and I take the Champlain Bridge in order to get home. And this is like a routine that I do every night. So when I saw like the police signs, lights around, I think it was 9 p.m. one night, I didn't even think it was like a roadblock. I was just like, okay, like there's been an accident and in my brain, I didn't even consider why the police were blocking another road. I was just like, okay, like something's going on. So by the time I drive, I don't even know why I didn't even consider it like curfew roadblock. I drive and then like the person in front of me keeps driving and I'm just like, why are they stopping? Why is the person in front of me stopping? And the police are just like, stop. And I was like, oh goodness. Okay. Whoops. Like I thought it was just an accident. I thought we could like, you know, keep driving. And I rolled down my window and I think even by then I was just like so clueless because this was like my first, I guess, checkpoint. I rolled down my window and the police officer was like, this is, it's a curfew. And I just stared at him like, yeah, it is. And I think at that point, my body was also like in kind of like a shock mode, like what's going on? And he was just like, why are you out? And I was like, oh, I do delivery. And at that point he was like, for which company? And I was like, Radish Cooperative. I guess for like from a management point of view and a driver's side, it's like I sometimes forget that it's, I guess, like we're like completely legitimate. And yeah, if I say Uber Eats, like they'll understand. If I say DoorDash, they'll understand. And so I guess it was a bit of a like a strange feeling being like Radish Cooperative, like in my head, just like, do you know it? Like, and then at that point he was like, okay, do you have a paper? And so I did. I showed him my paper and he let me go. So that was my experience being stopped.
She told me that was her only experience getting stopped.
But other than that, like, so far I've been driving freely around the city, and the roads have been empty for the most part. And it's great because there's less risk for accidents. And like, you, I guess, like, it's a nice feeling to be able to like drive around and not to be able to have the stress of like something happening because like there's another car on the road or the, like there are hundreds of other cars on the road. And at the same time, you, I guess, like within yourself, you appreciate what you do as well. I think like sometimes we forget, or like I like forget that I'm out here doing deliveries and that it is an essential service, and that, I don't know, sometimes you just like stop and you give yourself a pat on the back. And I think like being outside during the curfew when no one else is, just, I guess, is another reminder of that.
That's really cool. You said that you know of other people that have been stopped. Could you maybe give me some details about how you feel like those ones went down? I'm sure you weren't there, but.
Yeah. So they happen very, I guess I would say very, process goes very smoothly. They get stopped. My colleagues said, they told me that they would ask them the same thing. Like, why are you out? And they showed them the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point they'd let them go. And I've seen that like myself happen a few times where cops would stop people and they show them the paper and then they'd be gone. And it all happened within a matter of like 30 seconds.
Okay. Cause I know at the beginning, a lot of people were very concerned about like unjust stopping and profiling, since a lot of delivery drivers are from vulnerable populations when it comes to police officers. Was that something that you guys at Radish were concerned about when the new restrictions went into place?
I wouldn't say it was a concern, just because we knew that we could be driving, like, and that we are offering an essential service and that we have the right documentation for it. And if that anything like were to happen, if they were to be ticketed, that we could contest it, because given the nature of the business.
Outside of curfew, there's so much logistically that goes into preparing a delivery order that many of us don't think about because it is a convenient service for the people receiving the food. But of course, it is never as simple as the food just showing up at your door. Etienne talked about how the curfew has put extra pressure on their rush hours.
Well, the main problem with the curfew is just that, you know, it's already a business where you have like rush hours. With the curfew, it makes it even more brief and intense. So it's like we have to do most of ourselves between 6 and 7:30. It doesn't give you a lot of time. So, and everybody order, especially at 7:30, just before the curfew. And so we end up having to refuse sometimes the orders, which is never a good feeling.
Kitsia also said that despite the curfew, there's still busier days and rush hours, just like there would be in normal times.
Yeah, it's so basically our busiest nights are between Thursday and Saturday. And we often have about like 5 to 7 drivers out at night. When we originally started, it was just us, on the team who were doing the deliveries. And so as we grew, there's definitely been a shift. This was also my first time doing food delivery as a driver. And so I could definitely go into like the personal thing development I've been through as well, but it's a very stressful environment. And I think after having driven, it's been like a year now, after having driven, it makes you really appreciate the work that that drivers do, the food delivery drivers do. For example, like you want to make sure that the food does not spill and that the food arrives on time. And so I guess like the elements that get in the way are traffic, are also staying in like communication with the team.
Again, there's so much more that goes into getting customers their food that we maybe don't think about once it's arrived at our door. I asked Kitsia to paint a picture of what a night out delivering looks like for her.
To make things more efficient, what we actually started doing recently was download a radio app where we can now like all the drivers can stay in contact as well as the dispatchers. We have a dispatching system where the dispatcher contacts us to let us know like to which restaurant to go to first, to which destination that you should go to. And it's really made things much easier because you get to be in constant communication with the drivers as well as the dispatcher, and like also at the same time use other tools to share your location. I guess what I'm trying to say is that like there are so many intricacies that go into operations like this, and that I'm really glad to have been able to had the opportunity to be driving, because like coming from like a management point of view, I get to see what it's like and like understand like where things could need improvement. And then once we start hiring even more drivers, that we get to be able to relate to their experience.
There's even more thought that goes into the setup of your navigation system and food bag in the car.
In our cars, we do have the cradle for the phone. We also have our own delivery bags, which are insulated. We have different sizes, and that's a consideration that we have to take. That's something we have to take into consideration because one driver might have like a smaller size bag, and another driver might have a bigger one. And so in terms of like coordinating who gets what, we'll look at like the amount that like a client orders, for example, in order to put the right person at the right place.
And of course, right now, protective health and sanitation measures need to be considered.
So yeah, we make sure to wear masks. We have hand sanitizers in the car. A lot of restaurants also, they have their own hand sanitizer that they ask you to use as soon as you get in before picking up the food. And whenever we go and deliver the food, we leave the food on the front porch, ring the doorbell, make sure to stay a good 2 meters away, and then wait for the person to come. So it depends for clients. Sometimes they'll leave a delivery note. Sometimes they'll be like, just ring the doorbell and leave it in front of the door, and we'll be like, we'll feel confident that like they'll pick it up. And if they don't mention that, then we'll make sure that they've been contacted some way so they know that their food is there. And I think that's something that that's appreciated as well. And other times, whenever we notice that the ground may be wet because of the snow or whatnot, we'll place the food like on top of the delivery bag and just like wait for them to just pick it up and go.
But when I asked Kitsia to describe her routine, she seemed to have it down to a science.
If we take, I guess we can take like a Friday night. Okay. The busiest times usually occur between 4 to 7, which is when most people buy their dinners. So essentially we'll get an order and I'm definitely going to go into a storytelling mode and imagine what this scenario is like. We get an order.
Love it.
And I can tell you that I think the most exercise I get is like running to the car. run to the car. Well, yeah. I get to my car. I open up the app, which tells you which restaurant it's at, what the person's destination is, if they leave any delivery notes, as well as if they prefer no contact delivery. And so I'll drive to the restaurant, have my GPS on, and getting there. So one thing about our app is that we it allows the restaurants to be able to say when the food is ready. And so that was important for us because we wanted them to be able to have control over, well, when like when they say it's ready, so there's no like potential conflict as to when it is ready, and also for the driver to be able to know how long it's going to take. So they decide on time. As a driver, you see how long it's been preparing for and when it should be ready. They can also say whether it's delayed or not. And so you all, as a driver, you always like, it's clear as to when the food is going to be ready. And so you can gauge which, I guess, which resto to go to, but also how long it'll take. At the same time, you have a dispatcher who's always there to be like, you should go here or there in case you get like a second order or a third order. So essentially, go to the restaurant. But before that, before even like getting out of the car, what you often have to ensure is that, especially during the snow, is that you don't park near a snowbank. So you can like go and put your bag inside the passenger seat or in the back. At the same time, what's difficult sometimes is finding parking, and also making sure that you stay safe while you potentially like cross the streets. What the city has done, which I've noticed, is that they've added signs for just delivery, for delivery people to only to be able to park for 15 minutes. And that's really helped out for some restaurants that are on streets that are super busy. And so you don't really have to think. So I'm like also going on a ramble because I'm just like thinking about all the like the scenarios that could possibly occur.
There always has to be this balance of safety and speed when you're trying to get people their orders in a timely manner.
You do get more daring whenever you start driving more often, especially because you get more comfortable, right? But for sure, at all times, like we do make sure that things are handled safely, because at the end of the day, like I could be running down the stairs to be able to get to my car, right? But then you stop and think, like, if I run down these stairs and save like 10 seconds, I could also potentially break my leg doing so, right? And then that would like lead to like a whole driver not being able to work, but like more importantly, like a broken leg. Mm-hmm. and so I think like what's really important is to be able to just like stop and think about the risk, you potentially being late for 5 minutes on an order, it's not worth the potential like accident or like whether it's by car or by like yourself or from tripping, for example. And so that's something that like we, yeah, definitely take into consideration, like safety first, and it's not worth it. And at the end of the day, like you end up seeing your clients and like you have like a giant smile and you're like, bon appétit, like, and like they're understanding too of the situation.
She also talked to me about how good it feels to build relationships with customers and clients during a time when many of us are feeling isolated.
I guess it's similar in a way that sometimes you end up seeing the same clients, and with COVID, obviously, like some people just like they grab their food, they go back inside, but then others, they'll like strike up a conversation with you, or maybe sometimes you will. Or like, for example, I had one delivery where I was delivering wine and I had to make sure that the person was of legal age. And so like I saw the person and I was just like, I was about to ask for ID, but then I was just like, wait, they kind of do look, maybe I wasn't really sure whether they'd be offended if I did or didn't ask. And so I was just like, I'm going to ask anyway. And so I asked for his ID, and then we just like started talking about like someone that could potentially have been a common friend. And like, even though like interactions are sometimes brief, it's enough, I guess, for you to leave and be like, that was nice. Like it was friendly. And like, You're like, and the next time you see that their name, sorry, not their name, but their address pops up, you're like, oh, okay, it's like the same client. Like, I'll go say hi to them. And like, and you might see it again. Like, we get some regular customers, and from a driver's point of view, it gets exciting sometimes because you're like, oh yeah, I get to see another familiar face. And like, you get super excited on a management point of view, but also driver point of view, that like someone is still buying, and you know that you are the one who was the one interacting with them.
And even after all the logistics and swerving through traffic, Kitsia said her job is still rewarding because she feels like she's providing a service to people in a time when they really need it.
That like, for sure, like the food is amazing. But also that like you did, I guess, like you had like a pleasant impact, and that you were a factor in that, like they like ordered again. It's like a nice feeling, and it encourages you to like want to keep doing it. Honestly, like I think back to university, and I'm like, you know what? If I had the opportunity to be doing this, to be driving for, yeah, to be doing food delivery part-time, I would totally take it. Like, I find it's a whole learning experience, and you get to meet several people. And like, yeah, you're bringing food to people, which is what makes them happy, right? I had a delivery, I think it was last week, and I dropped it off in front of the door. And when they opened the door, the client just started dancing. And I was like, I think that was like the most, I guess, expressive a client had been, like actually dancing for their food. And yeah, from like a driver's point of view, it just made me super happy. And I told the entire team, I was like, this woman danced. Like, I feel like I just like, I don't know, like I like succeeded in like doing my job.
When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about the effectiveness of curfew, Quebec legislation that may mitigate the losses to third-party delivery apps during the pandemic, and the future of restaurants and delivery in Montreal. You're listening to CGLO, 1690 AM in Montreal. You're listening to CGLO, 1690 AM in Montreal. Hello, and welcome back to The Squeaky Curd. Today, we have been looking at delivery during the pandemic and how it has been impacted by the curfew. We already looked at how a night of delivery looks after curfew from the perspective of Radish Co-op founder and driver Kitsia Sadat. One of the things that people often question about the curfew is its effectiveness. I asked Martin whether he saw the curfew as an effective way to curb the spread of COVID-19 while giving businesses the option to stay open and still make money.
The problem that we have seen in Quebec when we've seen the increase of positive cases, the increase comes from private gatherings in homes or maybe in some other place, private place. But the problem was private gathering. It was not commercial activities, not that you go to the mall, you know, you go buy something at the in a shop, or going to eat in a restaurant. The problem was many people was doing private gathering at their in their house. With the curfew, what the government says that with the curfew it's easier to check and to see if there's private gathering or not. And they have seen a decrease of private gathering and also a decrease of cases. So maybe the curfew works because of that.
Kitsia agreed that for people who were already following the rules, the curfew doesn't make that much of a difference, and allowing the exceptions for businesses made sense.
Yes, I do. As in, well, one, it's a way to keep people at home, which means like reduce contact. I think for the people who've already been living their lives and not going out after 8, it hasn't, or like it wouldn't necessarily impact them as much. But for the people that that did have those plans after 8, that they potentially, like with these measures, it would reduce the chances of them going out.
I interviewed Etienne before the announcement that Montreal would be going back to a 9:30 curfew on May 3rd, and he also agreed with Kitsia and Martin that the measures didn't feel too punitive, but he didn't really understand the 90-minute difference between an 8 p.m. curfew and a 9:30 one.
Well, personally, I do understand why they're doing it. I'm not an expert, but I feel like I don't think it would make a big difference if the curfew was at 9:30 in terms of the cases, but it would sure help businesses a lot just to make it that, to push it back at 9:30 instead of 8. It would make a huge difference for restaurant and other business as well, I guess.
Besides the curfew exemption made for delivery drivers, another regulation adopted by Quebec in the past few months was Bill 87, which went into effect on March 22nd. The bill caps the percentage charge a third-party app can take from a delivery order at 20%. Etienne said he was pleased with the bill being passed, but wished it had been done earlier.
Yeah, I was following it very closely because it makes a huge difference. Like, we used to pay on average, let's say on Uber Eats, we paid on average 26%. And when with the bill, it went down to around 17%. So that's like 10% of on our sell, it's a huge difference for us. But the thing about Bill 87 is I think it's like too little too late because let's not forget it's only a temporary measure. So after the pandemic is over, it will be back to what it was before. And it took like a year to put that in place. You know, that's the thing about it. So, I mean, I'm so happy it happened, but it could have been done earlier, let's say.
Bill 87 will only apply to regions where the curfew is in effect, so it won't make much of a difference when restaurants will eventually, hopefully, return to normal. And, of course, new rules like Bill 87 aren't the only adjustments that have had to be made. Restaurants have had to reorganize their staff and preparation to suit the new normal.
Well, yeah, what we've seen is that, I guess, despite COVID, restaurants, I definitely can't say all of them, but a lot of them, they have been able to run. And so they, like, pre-COVID, you'd have, like, a full kitchen. You'd have, like, the people in the front, the waiter, the waitresses, the busboy, I guess, in, like, everyone involved, right? And you'd have all of that human labor. And now post-COVID, what we're seeing is that like you might have like maybe two chefs in the back or like one chef who's like running the entire kitchen. And so in some cases, some of them have actually been flourishing during COVID, given that their costs solely are go towards like the food, one or two employees, and delivery.
But like we mentioned at the top of the episode, these adaptations won't be enough, and many restaurants will not see it to the other side of the pandemic. One of the things we haven't been able to touch on, but is worth mentioning, is that there are other businesses, like bars, that can't rely on food delivery to keep their business afloat and are either calling it quits or relying on other revenue streams like merchandise and holding their breath to see what business will be like when they are allowed to open again. And that's what most restaurants are looking towards too.
It's the only thing that changed. So we didn't heard any negative opinion about the curfew because what we want is to be able to reopen our dining room. And there were no major change to how we operate our restaurant in Red Zone.
No one wants to deal with delivery-only business or pivoting to accommodate changing curfew. Everyone wants to go back to normal. Thank you for listening to The Squeaky Curd. Today's episode wouldn't have been possible without the participation of Kitsia Sadat, Etienne Clément, and Martin Vezina. You can learn more about Radish Cooperative at radish.coop. Check out Le Super Qualité with delivery or takeout from their Rosemont location at 1211 Rue Bélanger. And learn more about the Quebec Restaurant Association at restauration.org. Find out ways to support restaurants across Canada at restaurantscanada.org/support-restaurants. Our show logo and illustration were designed by Christina Rivera. Please join us next time as we look at urban agriculture in Montreal. From Gwen Rowley, you're listening to CGLO 1690 AM in Montreal.